Outside, the humid night air buzzed with mosquitoes. But Anya had gotten used to being ravaged by them over the years. Frank, however, promptly began smacking himself silly as the hordes attacked his pale skin.
Try to ignore them. Otherwise, they'll drive you right out of your mind.
Easier said than done, Anya.
Frank smacked another one and left a smear of blood across his cheek.
Then think of it this way. That blood on your cheek can be scented by a tiger, so it's probably in your best interest not to kill the bugs that have just taken your precious fluid. Got it?
Yeah.
You brought the gear?
Frank opened the trunk. Inside, Anya saw his small backpack.
That's it?
What?
Frank reached into the bag and brought out what looked like a regular DSLR camera. He held it up.
This is a Canon EOS 5D Mark II. Shoots full-definition video and does really well in low-light conditions. It'll work just fine for tonight.
Frank produced something that looked like a handheld vacuum cleaner.
What the hell is that?
A handheld FLIR. FLIR. Forward-looking infrared detector. It comes in handy on nights like this when you want to scan the immediate area and make sure you aren't walking into the jaws of a hungry tiger. Or a scary monster, for that matter.
Frank switched it on and a small LCD screen lit the night. He moved it around, aiming it into the darkness. Then he pointed at the screen.
The warmer the potential target is, the darker red it will be. The device takes an ambient temperature reading of the air around us, then uses differences to designate heat signatures of animals and other living stuff that might be lurking in the night.
Now that is a good piece of gear. I could have used something like this on a number of occasions.
Frank shut the trunk and handed Anya an extra flashlight. She also took the FLIR from him.
I don't recommend using the flashlight unless it's absolutely necessary. Our night vision will go to hell if you switch them on.
Would you prefer I take point on this excursion?
Well, you're the host of the show, after all. How would it look if the cameraman was suddenly leading these outings? I wouldn't want your reputation to suffer.
Oh, thank you for your concern.
Anya moved the FLIR around to get used to scanning with it.
I can actually see the lay of the ground in front of us with this thing, too.
It's very handy.
All right. Are you ready to do this?
If you mean potentially running into cops, getting attacked by a man-eating tiger, and running afoul of the nicest guy in Hyderabad, then absolutely.
How are your nerves?
Completely shot.
That's what I like to hear. Try to stay close, but not too close. Everything will be just fine, I promise.
Really?
No, but it sounded good when I said it, didn't it?
Yeah.
Anya studied the darkness, scanned it with the FLIR, and then looked back at Frank.
We're clear. Let's go.
The residential complex was surrounded by an undulating open ground that dipped and leveled out every few feet. To Anya, it looked as if it had once been farmland that someone had sold to the developer. She'd never even asked if Dunraj owned this place. But it seemed like a viable assumption. He seemed to own pretty much everything else in Hyderabad, and something like this would be right up his alley. A high-end complex for the ultra-wealthy. But that didn't mean Dunraj had loosed a tiger on its residents. Anya shook her head and scanned the area with the FLIR again, but nothing showed up on the screen. Frank tripped and fell face first into a puddle.
Oh, gross!
Be quiet. There's not much noise out here, and sound carries farther at night.
I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
Make sure you don't break that camera.
Anya kept moving forward, crossing a drainage ditch and a narrow culvert. She took it slow in case she happened to cross a tiger. But the FLIR again proved its worth and showed no signs of life except for the ever-present mosquitoes. Anya brought them within 200 yards of the development. There, she squatted to study the layout. The area ahead of them sloped upward out of the culvert to a fence. She initially thought it would be a problem getting through the fencing, but a quick glimpse down the wire told her it was still in the process of being installed, and there were several areas where it was possible to step through. The development itself comprised elaborate mansions in grand Hindu style. The landscaping gave them the appearance of being something out of an ancient kingdom. A few of the homes were lit by a single light, but it was otherwise quite dark. There were street lights, but they hadn't been finished yet. By the look of things, several residents had moved in long before the complex was completed. On the way in, she'd studied the ground for any tracks, but like Pradesh had said, there seemed to be no sign of tigers. There were an awful lot of footprints, however. Made by whom, Anya didn't know. Frank nudged her from behind.
What's the holdup?
I'm trying to see what our choices are for gaining access.
That hole in the fence right there seems like a good place to start.
Hold on a second, would you? We haven't seen or heard any of the police patrols yet.
Probably asleep.
Frank started to rise when Anya grabbed him by the sleeve and yanked him back into the dirt.
Quiet!
And then she ducked down as the first arc of light swept the area where Frank had just been standing. The police car was obviously on a routine patrol. The light swept over them a few times before the car moved off. But still, she held Frank down.
Wait.
Why?
Trust me. Okay, Frank. Let's get to that hole in the fence and get through it quickly. Make sure you pick out a spot away from the fence to hide in. The darker, the better.
At once, Frank was up and moving. As Anya made her way to the fence, she knew that once on the other side, they'd officially be trespassing. She checked her watch. They'd have maybe an hour on the inside, just to get the lay of the land. Anya ducked through the chain links and then hustled across the small road the police car had driven down. Across the way, Frank was huddled underneath an overhang by what looked like an administration building. He had a small piece of paper unfolded and was studying it with a red-lensed penlight.
What's that?
A map I made of the layout of this place. I marked the crime scene on there.
Good move.
We're here. We need to head west and find the culvert running in that direction. That's where they found that guy, Gupta.
Hopefully they don't have another police patrol on the scene.
This late at night?
They might just be parked up to discourage curious trespassers like us.
Ah.
I'll take point.
Anya held the FLIR ahead of her and got a bearing. She and Frank stuck close to the walls and fences of the community. Anya approached a corner and paused. The area around it was wide open and offered views in each direction. She and Frank needed to head west, which would put them right in line with another corner of the complex. She turned and gestured for him.
What's up?
This corner exposes us. We've got no cover for at least 100 yards, and if the cops surprise us, we'll be caught in the open. I don't like advancing unless I've got cover and concealment.
From the map, it looks like we've got to go outside the fence to use the ground to conceal us.
We can't backtrack now. It'd waste too much time. What's that on the map?
I don't know. I got this off the computer. Figured we'd find out once we got here.
Anya peered closer. It looked like an extra culvert running out of the complex, but not one that was easily accessible. She looked at the road.
A manhole.
A manhole?
Yeah. You don't happen to have any tools with you, do you?
Like what? Something to pry a lid off?
Preferably.
No, I don't.
Anya could use her sword, of course. But how would she explain that to Frank? She wanted to avoid, if at all possible, anyone at work knowing her secret. That her life had been forever changed on the day she'd brought the broken shards of Joan of Arc's sword together for the first time in hundreds of years. That the sword had become whole once again, right in front of her. That the sword of Joan of Arc had somehow chosen her and was now the sword of Anya Creed. But they needed to get into the manhole. Anya made a decision.
Can you go back down to the hole in the fence and see if there were any tools there?
What are you going to do?
I'll scout ahead and see if there's anything I can use. Otherwise, I'll sneak up and see if we can avoid the manhole trip.
Anya watched Frank go, and then moved out into the road, locating the manhole cover. It was bolted down. This was going to have to be quick. She reached into the otherwhere and grasped the sword, which hung there waiting for her. Holding it in her hands flooded her system with strength. The sword blade cast a grayish glow into the night, and Anya desperately hoped it wouldn't attract anyone. She shoved the point under the lip of the cover. She pried with all of her strength. She leaned into the sword, and the cover came loose. Anya slid it back slowly. She shoved the FLIR into the hole and scanned around. A few rats scurried for cover, splashing through the darkness. But otherwise, it seemed deserted. Anya put the sword away and waited for Frank to return. Another 30 seconds passed before he came hustling around the corner with a big screwdriver. He held it up like a trophy until he saw Anya squatting near the opening. He dropped to all fours.
How the hell did you manage that?
I found a pry bar farther up. But of course, once I got the lid up, I dropped it down there somewhere. Probably never find it now.
At least you got it open.
Yeah.
We really have to go in there?
If we want to get to the crime scenes, yes.
It stinks down there.
And it's only going to get worse.
Does any of this stuff ever bother you?
All of it. Now get going.
He hesitated. And then jumped. Anya followed him. It was a short drop of only 5 feet. Anya stood and hauled the manhole cover into place. At least now, they hadn't left a calling card behind.
Flashlight coming on. Watch your eyes.
Red light lit up the culvert. Anya looked ahead and then behind them.
Which way?
There.
On we go.
In the darkness, even with the red flashlight illuminating part of the culvert, it was difficult to see exactly what lay ahead. Anya sloshed through the dank water and tried her best to breathe through her mouth so she wouldn't have to put up with the intense stench.
This is horrible.
The things we do for a story. You think this is bad? I could tell you stories that will make you run home screaming for your mommy.
Leave my mommy out of this. Ugh, how much farther?
Maybe a few hundred feet.
Whose idea was it to drop into a sewer again?
You were the one who wanted to come along on this jaunt in the first place. You want to blame someone? Blame yourself. You could be asleep right now.
Yeah, but we wouldn't be able to see this in the morning with Pradesh.
Exactly.
Anya thought she saw something ahead.
Turn out the flashlight.
What? Why? I don't want to trip and fall face first in this stuff. That puddle was bad enough.
I think we're coming out of the tunnel. Kill that light.
Frank shut the flashlight off. Yes, there was definitely an opening up ahead of them. The question was, where did it open up? The last thing Anya wanted was to come out and be exposed. She'd have to scout.
Stay here.
What? No way! I'm not staying in this stinking cesspool any longer than I have to. Let me go with you.
You want to take this one?
Better than staying here in the sewer.
Fine. Go scout the scene, but try not to make any noise, all right? I need to know that it's clear for us to proceed.
I'll be back.
Thanks, Arnold.
Anya watched him plod through the few remaining feet of tunnel and then disappear outside. She closed her eyes and prayed silently.
Please don't screw this up.
When she opened her eyes, Frank was in front of her.
You okay?
Yeah. Just hoping you didn't walk into an ambush.
Ambush? Anya, we're not playing Call of Duty here. We're just trespassing. Well, plus the possibility of a monster.
Which, I take it, you did not run into.
Right. The culvert ends in a ditch, and according to the map, it puts us right about where we need to be. I saw what looked like crime scene tape a few yards away.
Good work.
Thanks.
All right, lead on.
Frank turned, and Anya followed him out. Frank paused, looked around, and pointed to his left.
Ditch is that way.
Anya nodded. She then slipped over the edge of the drainage ditch, sticking close to the ground. In the next instant, she froze. Anya glanced back and saw that Frank was already fully exposed.
Don't move.
Frank ignored her and dropped, but then kept absolutely still. It helped that they were wearing dark clothes. Anya pressed her face into the dirt and prayed the cops would drive by.
As long as we don't move, they may not notice us.
Anya counted to 30 and then risked looking up. The cop car had just passed their location and continued on its way. And when Anya judged it was safe, she waved Frank on. They moved slowly and without sudden motions that would draw the eye. Eventually, they reached the edge of the crime scene. Anya slid under the tape and down into the ditch. A second later, Frank came tumbling into the ditch, nearly colliding with Anya, who only just managed to jump out of the way at the last moment.
Sorry.
Swan-like dancer, you ain't. Be careful with that camera, too. I doubt the company would be happy if you broke it.
Frank hauled the DSLR out and turned it on.
You want to do a shot here, right now?
What the hell?
While Frank got ready, Anya wiped the muck from her face.
Ready when you are.
I hope the audio levels are okay, because I'm not about to speak in my regular voice for this.
The sound guy should be able to amp it up when we get back to the States.
Anya saw the red light come on and knew she was recording. She looked into the camera and was just about to start talking when Frank held up his hand.
Wait a minute.
What's the problem?
There's a kid behind you.
What?
And then Anya felt the distinctly unsettling sensation of a metal blade being pressed into the back of her neck.
Does this kid have a knife, Frank?
Yeah.
That's kind of an important piece of information. Maybe next time forget the kid part and just tell me there's someone with a knife, okay?
Yeah. Cool.
Relax, okay? We're not here to hurt you.
Turn around. Slow.
Anya shifted and then turned. The kid kept the knife pressed against her throat. He couldn't have been more than 10 years old. The knife must have been nearly as long as his forearm, and he held it with confidence. His clothes were in bad shape, tattered, full of holes.
Who are you?
My name is Anya. That's Frank.
Hey, how's it going?
Why are you here?
We mean no harm. We came here to find out about the monster.
The monster?
The one that killed three people. Do you know anything about the creature that did it?
The police are here. Maybe I should take you to them. Perhaps they will reward me.
Or you might get into worse trouble. After all, you're trespassing here too, aren't you?
I have to. My family is poor, and I can sell some of the things these rich people discard. It helps my family. This is my job.
I have a proposition for you.
What?
How about we hire you to work for us?
Doing what?
You tell us what you know about the monster, and I'll pay you for the knowledge.
Anya reached into her pocket and came out with a roll of money. The boy's eyes lit up like fireworks when he saw the amount.
This would help your family, wouldn't it?
Give it to me!
You can have it all if you help us, okay?
As soon as the boy let his guard down, she slapped his hand and sent the blade sprawling across the ditch. Before he could recover, Anya stepped on the knife.
I'm offering you a job. I won't double-cross you, I promise. You give us the information we need, and you get paid.
You will not lie?
Absolutely not.
All right. But I need my knife back first.
You won't try anything with it. I'd hate to have to get mean with you.
I won't.
Anya moved her foot.
Now give me the money.
Quick as a flash, the boy scooped up the blade.
First, you give us the information. Tell me what you know about the monster.
There is no monster.
There isn't.
Oh, no. There's something much worse.
What's your name, kid?
Deva.
Deva, I'm Frank. This is Anya.
So? What do you wish to know?
The three people who were killed here. Some people seem to think that a tiger did it. Or maybe a monster. But you don't agree with that?
No.
And do you know what happened?
It was not a tiger.
Was it another animal of some kind?
I do not know of any animal that could do the things that were done to those people. Except one.
Which one?
Man.
You saw it happen?
They come to the rich houses and take people away. Then they bring them back after they are done killing them. I have seen them several times do this.
But you didn't tell the police. Why?
If I do not work, my family will have nothing. My mother is very sick, and my father already works very hard to help my brothers and sisters. If I go to the police, they will stop me from working.
How old are you, Deva?
10.
It's all right. We won't tell them what you told us. I know what it's like to have responsibilities. Your family counts on you, don't they?
Yes, pretty much.
I'll only ask you one more thing, and then I'll give you your money. Is that all right?
What do you want to know?
Can you show us where these men come into the development?
What do you want to know that? You might run into them if you are not careful. That is how I found you. I listened. He makes too much noise.
I agree with you. He does. But he's getting better.
Not for a long time, I think.
Well, hopefully we won't be here all that long, and I won't have to learn how to move so quietly.
I will show you. But then I wish to be paid.
You got it.
You must be quiet and move when I move. The police cars come around here all night.
Lead the way, Deva. We'll follow.
Deva nodded. Then he vanished over the lip of the ditch. Anya started to follow him when Frank pulled her back.
Wait!
What is it, Frank?
Are we really doing this? Trusting a kid?
You have a better idea? He knows the lay of the land here. And if he can point us in the proper direction for this investigation, then so much the better.
Yeah, but it feels like we're taking advantage of him.
Taking advantage of him? Frank, did you see how much cash I'm giving him? If anyone's getting ripped off here, it's me.
Deva poked his head back over the rim of the ditch.
What is taking you two so long? Please hurry!
Anya scrambled out. Deva was already across the street, moving quickly down a side pathway that ran between several of the houses. Anya glanced back and saw Frank moving across the street toward her. Once they were in the shadow of the pathway, it would be harder for the police to spot them, unless they shone the light in their direction. Deva froze. Anya followed suit, and so did Frank. Deva relaxed and continued moving forward. Deva came to the end of the path. Ahead of them, it was lighter, and Anya again felt the sensation of being exposed in the open. Deva crouched near the corner of a house and seemed to be waiting for something. Anya crept closer.
Is everything all right?
Police!
They shrank back into the shadows as another cruiser crawled along out on the road. It passed by without incident, and Anya felt Deva's thin body slump.
You okay? There seem to be a lot of them out tonight. But fortunately, we are almost there.
Okay.
Stay close to me. There is open ground ahead of us, and we must move quickly.
I like the way you think.
Deva darted out, and Anya followed. Frank kept pace with them. Deva ran toward the far side of the road. He hopped a low line of bushes, pausing on the other side to wait for them to catch up. They lay on a steep embankment that led down to another series of ditches and culverts. Deva pointed to where Anya could just make out mountains in the dark.
They come from there.
There's a village in that direction.
No, they come from the mountains. The mountains.
What? Like they live inside the mountains?
Yes.
This is getting better by the minute.
I'll say. So they come in from this direction, through the ditches and the culverts, the tunnels?
Yes. And this is all I can show you. Can I have my money?
Thank you very much for your help, Deva.
Anya placed the roll of cash into the young boy's hand. He scampered back up the slope and vanished.
Geez, don't say goodbye or anything.
He's so happy to have that money, he'll go straight home. That's good. If there are murderers stalking these grounds, then he shouldn't be here. He might get hurt.
And what about us?
We'll be all right.
Yeah? You got a shotgun on you or something?
Something like that.
All right, well, what's the plan? It's getting late, and I don't know how much more we can do tonight. We didn't get any evidence at the crime scene. And now we've got a tenuous lead that points us in the direction of the mountains. But what should we do? Tell Pradesh about it and have him ask all sorts of questions we probably don't want to answer?
You might be right. What more can we do in the dark now?
A noise off to her left caught Anya's attention. She held a finger to her lips. Then very slowly, she raised the FLIR. Three blobs of red appeared on the FLIR screen, coming from the direction of the mountains. Anya felt it. Danger.
Are these the murderers Deva told us about? Did the boy know they'd be coming? Did he lead us here deliberately?
Anya refused to believe that, although she had to admit that Deva had seemed very anxious to get away as soon as he was paid. She watched the screen and showed it to Frank.
Let's get the hell out of here. Let the cops deal with these guys.
Anya switched the FLIR off, not wanting the LCD screen to act as a beacon in the night. These men were obviously skilled at moving quietly in darkness, and they blended in perfectly with their night surroundings. Frank tugged on Anya's sleeve. She let herself be pulled, and they came up out of the shrubbery together. A face appeared before Anya's, swathed in a black scarf. Something hit Anya hard on the back of her head, and she was falling back down the embankment. Her last thought before she passed out was that whoever these men were, they were masters of the ambush. Anya's head ached as if someone had just blown up a barrel of gunpowder inside it. She cracked her eyes, momentarily afraid there would be bright light that would only make the pain even more intolerable, but it was dark, black as night.
Where am I?
She remembered falling down the embankment, but then nothing beyond that. She must have hit a rock. The air wasn't nearly as humid as she remembered it being. Something shifted next to her, and she tried to feel with her hands, only to realize they had been bound behind her.
I guess this rules out someone friendly finding us.
But then Anya remembered Frank. She forced herself to crack her eyes again. It took several minutes to adjust to the darkness, but finally she saw the outline of Frank's body next to her.
Frank?
Frank shifted, and then opened his eyes slowly.
Anya?
Keep your voice down. We don't want them knowing we're awake just yet.
My hands are tied. I can't move.
Mine are too. Just relax and we'll figure this out.
I couldn't catch you when you fell. I tried to, but then this guy came out of nowhere and clocked me.
I hit my head on a rock, I think.
Who are these guys?
I have no idea. It's probably better if we play dumb and let them do the talking.
If they talk at all.
They will. If they'd wanted to kill us, we'd probably already be dead. They must want something from us.
I hope so. In the movies, though, once you give the bad guys what they want, they always kill you anyway.
You watch too many movies, Frank.
Probably.
Just let me handle things when the time comes, all right? Can you do that?
Yeah, sure.
Try to get some rest now. Let me think.
It came to Anya then. They were surely in a cave of some sort. That would account for the temperature change, the cool, dry nature of the air. But where were their caves around Hyderabad? The mountains they'd seen in the distance. Anya tried to figure out how long they'd been unconscious. Unless the guys who had attacked them had vehicles nearby, they would have had to carry their victims back to the mountains. And the mountains were at least a few miles away from the development. Hours must have passed. It might be dawn outside, but she had no way of knowing that for certain. First things first, Anya had to figure out who their captors were. In her mind's eye, she saw the sword hanging in its usual position, ready to be used when the situation demanded it. Anya willed her awareness to spread out in concentric circles, trying her best to get a feel for the makeup of the cave and the area she and Frank were being kept in. She had a sense that the cave they were in was part of a networked series of other caverns. Anya directed her thoughts inward. She focused on the sword and tried turning its gray glow to a white glow. She remembered reading somewhere that healing oneself often involved visualization of white light. Anya willed herself to relax and find a source of the white light where the sword hung in her mind's eye. Then she felt that energy expand and encompass her body.
Anya!
What is it, Frank?
I've been trying to work on the ropes that are binding my hands. They're too tight. I can't even feel my fingers anymore.
Don't fight it. You'll only hurt yourself.
All right. We've got to get you to a doctor.
I'll get medical attention when I can, but right now the most important thing is for us to learn what is going on here, then make our escape.
If you say so.
I do. You just stay quiet when the people who did this to us come back. Let me handle the negotiation.
There's negotiation?
There will be, whether they like it or not.
Have you been in this situation before?
I've had a few run-ins in my time. They've turned out well so far. I'm still alive.
Yeah, well, I hope this is another one of those times. I don't feel like dying this young.
Me neither.
They lay there for what seemed like hours more before Anya felt a sudden shift in the air pressure. Someone was coming into the cavern. Anya opened her eyes and saw a masked man. He was swathed in black, and his head appeared disembodied.
If we were in Japan, I'd think he was a ninja.
Anya made eye contact with the man and saw intense hatred screaming out of his stare. Anya forced herself to maintain the eye contact, not giving him the pleasure of seeing her frightened.
Not this time. I guarantee you I will not be like your other victims. I won't beg for mercy.
The man maintained the eye contact as well as she did. Interesting. He didn't blanch at confrontation.
Interesting. This means he isn't used to giving up his position. And that doesn't bode well if we get into a fight. He'd probably rather die than surrender.
That slap let her know his rules. Rule number one being no talking.
All right. I'll remember that slap and make sure I repay it in kind. Just wait.
The man helped Anya roughly to her feet, standing her and keeping her balanced. He did the same with Frank. Anya silently shushed Frank when he looked at her. This was the hired help. Formidable as he seemed to be, this was not the person who would hold power over whether they lived or died. But he might be bringing them to that person. Sure enough, Anya felt herself nudged from behind and was guided out of the cavern. It was difficult seeing in the darkness. She stumbled forward, trying her best to find her footing in the unfamiliar environment. Anya stepped down into a corridor of some sort. The walls were spaced wider apart, and the tunnel seemed fairly long and straight, but it had been hewn out of the rock of the mountain. She was amazed by the amount of effort that must have gone into making this place.
Is this some sort of secret mountain fortress? Have people labored over this for decades? Centuries? Is there more than one way to gain entrance to the caves? And if so, what chance does Pradesh have of ever finding it?
Anya came to a fork in the tunnel complex. She glanced back, and the man in black nodded to their left. The tunnel was much smaller here. She felt another breeze. However the tunnels had been laid out, constructed or designed, there seemed to be good airflow. But again, the air was cool and dry, and not at all similar to the humid air of Hyderabad.
Is it just because this is mountain air, or is there another reason why it seems so fresh? Let's just get to wherever we're going, and then we'll worry about the air quality of the captor's mountain fortress.
Anya could sense other openings around them, like branches or corridors off their route. There seemed an entire honeycombed network of caves. She wondered if people lived here, or if this was simply a hideout of some sort. After another 5 minutes of stumbling along, Anya saw a flickering torchlight ahead. It was the first measure of illumination she'd seen in the complex at all. But even this was minuscule. A lone torch hung on the wall and seemed to be responsible for lighting an entire chamber at least twice as large as any she'd been in yet. The man behind them seemed to be suggesting they now stop. He walked past them, leaving them alone in the corridor.
Remember, no talking unless I tell you to start, okay?
Yeah.
You're doing a great job, Frank. I mean that. I know this is out of the ordinary.
Just a bit.
But keep it together. Don't let them see you're terrified, or they'll have less respect for you.
I got it.
Did you see anything that seemed to be an escape route on the way over?
It's so dark here, I can't really see anything at all.
Look out of the corners of your eyes in the dark.
Anya waited. She could sense movement all around her, and then saw that other dark shapes seemed to be walking right past her and Frank.
What the hell is this place?
The filing of people around them seemed to go on for several minutes. Finally, the air stilled once more. The torchlight cast long shadows of the people that surrounded her and Frank.
Too many here to try to take on by myself.
She felt a presence in front of her, and then saw the same eyes of the man who had escorted them down here.
Now what?
The man guided her several steps ahead of where she'd been standing. Then he disappeared and returned a few moments later with Frank. They were in a larger chamber, surrounded by many other identically black-clad men. Anya concentrated and saw the sword hanging in the otherwhere, ready. Anya felt the air shift again. The man who had escorted them down to this place seemed to slink away in the darkness. Then there was a sudden explosion of light in the chamber. And then the first thing Anya saw, after her eyes adjusted, was a blue figure emblazoned in front of her. A statue. Anya caught herself as she recognized who it was. Kali, the goddess of death, often characterized in Hindu as uncontrollably angry and destructive. The statue before Anya had four arms, each wielding a different weapon, and the red eyes were supposed to suggest a certain level of intoxication, a bloodlust resulting from one of Kali's many battles. Kali was a ferocious deity.
What the hell have I stumbled onto here?
Anya soon got her answer. After the immediate shock of so much light, Anya methodically took in her surroundings. The torches that had sprung to life glowed hot, casting long shadows across the chamber, but also giving more than enough illumination for Anya to finally see the men who held them captive. Her first impression was that there weren't nearly as many of them as she'd thought there were in the dark. The dozen or so men certainly looked as ferocious as their goddess, Kali. They still had their faces shrouded in black. But slowly, each man reached up and undid the length of cloth that covered them. These scarves, knotted at both ends, were handled with a remarkable degree of reverence. She racked her brain for any information which might help her figure out who these men were.
Obviously, they are devoted to Kali. But what is their cause?
One by one, the men tucked their scarves into their belts, the two knotted ends dangling, ready to be drawn quickly, as in a fight.
Weapons? Of course. Thuggy. But that cult's supposed to have been wiped out ages ago. Bands of robbers and murderers who used to prey on travelers from about the 13th century through the British colonial period. But the authorities cracked down hard on them. I thought the Thuggy had been virtually extinguished. So what's going on here?
The scarves that had been used to cover their faces were called Rumal. They were among the Thuggy murder weapons of choice, used as a garrote, which is why they placed such a high degree of reverence on their rumal, much like a samurai respects his katana. Each of the men stood in silent devotion before the statue of Kali, and Anya wondered what was coming next. Minutes passed. She turned to see one final man enter the chamber, his head wrapped in the same rumal as the others. But instead of black clothing, he wore a mottled blend of brown and blue along with the black headscarf. He passed Anya too quickly for her to even see his eyes, and then stood in front of the statue, bowing low.
Hikalikaius Maxime! Hikalikaius Maxime! Hikalikaius Maxime! Hikalikaius Maxime! Hikalikaius Maxime!
The torches flickered and died, plunging the chamber back into darkness. Anya felt movement all around her. Some of the men appeared to be leaving.
Prayer time is apparently done.
A single torch sprang back to life, its glow breaking the darkness. The last man to have entered the chamber still stood in front of Kali with his back to Anya. There were four men left beside him. Now that the prayers had stopped, the men had their eyes firmly locked on her and Frank. The four remaining men pressed closer to them. Their eyes bore into them, and Anya frowned back.
Recadere.
After the man standing with his back to Anya had spoken, the men eased back. Anya tried to remember more about the thuggee, but her information was scant. She didn't know whether or not they dabbled in magic. She thought not, but she'd already witnessed some mysterious happenings here. And if the man in front of her was some sort of high priest, then perhaps he did indeed have secret knowledge.
I'm being ridiculous. As many times as I've supposedly witnessed something magical or otherworldly, there's been an explanation for it. At least, most of the time.
The man in front of her bowed low again.
Sera nocte sunt magna et clara.
Autum in cor Kali!
Anya felt as though another presence had entered the chamber, accompanied by a strong breeze. Anya squinted as bits of grit blew into her face. She forced herself to try to observe what was happening, but as the wind increased, it grew increasingly tougher to see. The man in front of the statue of Kali raised his hands toward the roof.
Sikorno ave Kali, sekuriskere Kaliapuola!
Frank shifted, and one of the men drew his arm back and sent the knotted end of the rumal toward Frank.
Ah!
The blow hit him squarely on his temple. Frank's knees almost buckled, the impact was so staggering. But as much as the strike had hurt Frank, he still managed to keep his feet under him. He grit his teeth. Good. Anya nodded once. The man in front of the statue turned to face them at last. Anya watched as he drew his hands up to the rumal that covered his face and started untying it. But it was longer than the ones the other men wore, and it took him forever to unravel it. But when he did, the smile on the man's face took Anya's breath away.
Hello again, Anya. Frank?
The way Dunraj looked was so unlike the way he'd appeared at the welcome party on the previous night. Gone was all sign of rich sophistication and bespoke suits. Gone was Hyderabad's most eligible bachelor. In his place stood a man with a shadow over his face and a ferocity that seethed in his eyes.
You're about the last person I expected to find here. The cover of GQ India, yes, but not in some maze of caves on the outskirts of a city that ostensibly belongs to you.
I can understand how you would find my superficial personality as intriguing as other women, but I assure you that I am anything but that simple.
Apparently. I mean, you're doing something here that defies the life you seem to lead in the city. Am I right that this is Kali?
Of course. She is perhaps one of the most important deities in the Hindu culture and religion. I have devoted my life to serving her.
By doing what? Resurrecting an old cult?
And what would you know of cults? You may have guessed at what we are, but I wager you have very little real information as to what it is we are all about.
You're a bunch of thugs.
How did you know about us?
Do you know anything about me? What I do? I'm an archaeologist, for crying out loud. History is my business. And I have a pretty broad working knowledge.
Regardless, you have only a very limited understanding of what Thagi is.
Probably. But at least I'm not as naive as some of the women I see looking for a chance to sink their hooks into you.
Granted. But then those women are merely part of the public image that I've worked so hard to fabricate. My real work lies in the service of Kali.
And killing people. Let's not forget about the murders you've committed.
It is not murder. It is paying tribute to my goddess. Something I came to terms with long ago.
This isn't the old days, Dunraj. You can't go wandering around killing people just because your god tells you to.
What world have you been living in, Anya? Of course I can. And there are millions more like me who do exactly that. The history of religion is always written in the blood of those it subjugates. But at least my goddess is not a hypocrite about what she craves. She demands sacrifice.
Just what the world needs. Another religious zealot.
Yes, well, I suppose it was too much to expect you to understand the goal of our work here.
And just what is it you're up to? As far as I can see, you're getting started on some small-scale terror campaign at a development that would seem to have your fingerprints all over it.
I had nothing to do with that construction project. I protested its development vociferously. I tried every resource I had at my disposal to thwart it from the start. I was unsuccessful.
You have a heck of a lot of resources. So if you couldn't get it derailed, then who's behind it?
A firm interested in developing large tracts of land beyond the city limits.
And that's where you have a problem.
Hyderabad was once a flourishing center of Thuggee activity and Kali worship. Years ago, this region was dominated by our ancestors.
But let me guess, the British took offense to the whole murdering travelers thing, huh?
They did. In order to avoid being exterminated, Thuggee was forced to go underground. Out of love for our goddess Kali, that is exactly what happened.
And now you're bringing it back to the surface to combat developments on sacred land, perhaps?
Very good, Anya. That is exactly what these lands are. They cannot be transformed into sprawling mega-malls or amusement centers or housing communities.
And yet you develop land this way every day in Hyderabad.
I do where it's permitted. Where I build is not hallowed ground.
I'm surprised you weren't able to tie development up with legal injunctions or court procedurals. Don't you have a flotilla of lawyers on retainer?
Sometimes all the lawyers in the world cannot prevent what is inevitable.
But if you feel that way, then what makes you think this scheme of yours will be any better at stopping the developments?
Because, Anya, if there is one thing these people understand, it is not recovering their investment costs. If word spreads that someone is targeting these sites, then no one will buy. No store will lease space. No company will risk the wrath of the Thuggee. We will succeed in preventing the spread of modernization where none should ever be.
I don't think it will work. Someone will figure out you're behind this, or someone will catch one of your thugs, and then the game will be over. It will only be a matter of time before modernization rolls over this area and puts a giant Mickey D's right where your shrine to Kali stands now.
You will not speak so rudely of my goddess on your creed.
Just letting you know what I think of your plan.
It will be my greatest pleasure when I finally introduce you to my goddess.
And just how are you going to do that?
Why, you're to be sacrificed, of course. You and your cameraman there.
Hey, I didn't do anything.
You were at the development looking for answers. That makes you a threat. And threats must be dealt with. Surely you understand.
But what I understand is I want to live.
Yes, well, we can't always be master of our own fate now, can we?
I'm pretty sure I could be. Whether or not you introduce me to your god.
When you scream for mercy and beg for the sweet release of a quick death, I shall refrain from granting you that one last wish.
And here I thought we got off on a good foot at your party.
I've got a lot of living left to do.
Tragically, you've got a lot more dying to do. And it will be a glorious death for you, my young friend. Your blood will spill in Kali's name, so she may know of the love we have for her.
Oh, there goes the bucket list I had drawn up.
I don't even want to know what was on that. Why don't we do a deal here?
You're joking.
No. You let Frank go. He's just a child, for crying out loud. Surely your goddess wouldn't want you to kill one as young as him. It doesn't make any sense. He's got no worth to her, no life experience. But me? Well, you could get a lot more mileage out of my sacrifice than you would Frank's. So let him go and keep me. Run that blade right through me when you want to, and I'll go happily. He's nothing to you. Or Kali.
I admire your attempt, feeble as it was, to spare the boy's life. But he's not as young as you would have me believe. And Kali appreciates every drop of blood spilled.
Fantastic. So she's an equal opportunity bloodlusting goddess. Awesome.
You should feel honored. And it's not often we even tell people they are about to be taken in Kali's name. Mostly, my men strike the sacrifices down without their bodies ever being consummated at the altar.
Gee, thanks. I'll try to remember to feel honored as you're killing me.
Don't spoil my goodwill, Frank. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
You're going to kill us anyway. How could it possibly get worse?
I can determine how long you suffer before you finally give your miserable lives to Kali. And I can be very creative in the prolonging of pain and agony when I make cuts with a knife. Tomorrow, you will die in front of Kali.